All right, as we mentioned, we'll get into the questions today. The first portion about summarize, you just want a brief summary of what those particular verses mean. And then we'll continue on, see how far we get here. Mickey was thinking that, you know, he might get up in the middle of class because I'd be done and then he could start teaching verse chapter 17. I thought, that's not going to happen. So, we'll see. All right. So, worksheet on Acts chapter 16. Let's summarize verses 1 through 5. Who's got a good summary of verses 1 through 5? James?
So, Paul came to Lystra and Derbe, and that's where he comes into contact with Timothy and wants him to go with him to preach the gospel. So he took him and had him circumcised, and he became one of his travel companions, if you will, to go around and strengthen the churches.
Okay. So at this time, how many people do we know of in the company here? Three. Who are they? Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Barnabas and John Mark are down in Cyprus. So, all right. What was the purpose of their heading out on this trip? What was their stated purpose? Sure. Just to strengthen the existing churches.
Last verse of
preaching. Last who?
The last verse of preaching chapter.
Oh, yes, right. Confirming the churches. It's what the American Standard says. What does it say in the New American? Strengthening. Okay. Yeah. All right. Verses 6 through 10 then. What, pardon? Somebody have that? Lynn?
Paul received what is known as the Macedonian call.
Okay, eventually, yes.
You said no, he wanted
that. That was quick. All right, so yeah, he where did he receive the Macedonian call? At Troas, right? How did he get to Troas? Yeah, Randy?
It's forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go elsewhere.
Okay, what did they go through? What regions, areas? Phrygia, Galatia, and Mysia.
That's when they tried to come up to Bithynia and Asia, and that's when the Holy Spirit told them.
Right. Okay. That was in your parenthetical expression at the end of that sentence. Okay. All right. All right. So they were forbidden to preach in Asia or Bithynia because the Holy Spirit had other plans for them, as it were. All right. And right at the end of that, Lynn, who joined them there?
Luke.
And now we have four people, all right, that we know of. All right. Chapter 16, verses 11 through 15. What's a good summary of that one? The conversion of Lydia. Okay. 11 through 15. And that's a pretty good summary, I think. There's a lot of the story that we could look at, but the fact of the matter is that they meet and Lydia becomes a Christian. All right. 16 through 18. Bruce?
Well, it was a conflict and they were arrested. All his lives were arrested. They cast out the demon, spirit from the woman, the divination. He was beaten and stopped.
All right, that's a little bit past 18, but all right. And so Bruce, what's the rest of the story here, 19 through 34?
Okay.
All of them including the babies and the children and stuff, right?
What babies?
I don't know. You said all his household. Okay, there you go. All that understood the gospel, all the believers were immersed in water for the remission of their sins. So, in 16 through 34, all of this is predicated on them casting the demon out of the slave girl and the owners of this girl getting mad at them and getting them thrown in jail. But as has been mentioned, of course, the jailer that was taking care of them or in charge of them, he heard the word preached, and he believed, and he became a Christian, and met some in his household also became Christians, apparently. all right, and then 35 through 40. Who's got 35 through 40? Jonathan. Yes, that's right. So, and they, why were they, why did the magistrates need to do this?
Well, they were in fear because Paul, and they were Roman citizens.
Okay, right.
They were going to come, and then Paul said they needed to come because there was no reason for them.
Okay. They've been publicly disparaged. And, yes, Mickey.
The magistrates that had charged the jailer to keep them.
Yes.
So when they had beaten them. So they wronged them.
Yeah. All of this that they had done was wrong. And as we've mentioned before, the purpose of much of this, as far as the clarification and all that sort of stuff as to why they'd been thrown in jail and all, this needed to be clarified because, for what reason? That's right. So, their credibility, the reputation of the gospel, all of these things, even the woman with the spirit following after them, all of these things had to do with negative aspects that could be thrown against the gospel and the preachers thereof, and so that's why it needed to be clarified. As to what was what here, why they had to cast the demon out, and why they had to make it a point of showing that, yes, they were Roman citizens, and that the things that were being done to them were wrong on the part of the lawmakers, as it were. It wasn't anything that they had done. All right. Anything further on? That sort of summarizes Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 40. And I think that'll take care of most of the chapter. All right. The next thing that we have then are people. Timothy. I think we've discussed him a bit already. What about Timothy?
Son of a Jewish woman, son of a Greek father. Paul had him circumcised so he could go with him and not have doors closed to preach him.
Right. Now do the words here say that they preached the gospel to Timothy and he became a Christian at this time?
He
was already a disciple. So it said that they met a certain disciple. And so he's probably from Lystra. As I mentioned last week, it says that his mother was a Jew and his father was a Greek. But it says that his mother was a Jew who was a believer, so that meant she was a Christian. This does not negate the possibility that his father may have been a Christian. It's just that what the Holy Spirit is trying to show here is that because his mother was of Jewish ancestry, because his mother was Jewish, because his father was a Greek ancestry, the people would assume that he was not authorized, you might say, to go into the Jewish synagogue. So that's why he was circumcised. So, but that was pure speculation as to whether or not what religious bent his father may have. But his father could have been a Christian. It's just that wasn't the point the Holy Spirit was trying to make at this particular place. All right, and then the famous man of Macedonia. Lynn, since you you know about the Macedonian call, tell us about the man of Macedonia.
In verse 9, he's mentioned, and it's a figure that Paul saw in a vision. And he saw this man asking him to come over to Macedonia. They were in Troas. It was to go across over into Macedonia to preach to them.
Okay. All right. So they're over in Troas, which is in what continent as we know it?
Asia.
Asia. The Macedonian man is in what continent? Europe. I think it's interesting to note that, and it doesn't say why, but it says there was a vision of a man of Macedonia. It's like he could recognize that this man was from Macedonia. You know, the Holy Spirit may have told him, but I think that's interesting to note that it says a man of Macedonia.
Well, it says that the man said, come over to Macedonia.
Yeah, right. Yep. That could have been a clue also. All right. Lydia. Do we know anything about Lydia at all here? Anybody know? Who's got it? Jenny, here, you've got your notebook in front of you. Pray tell us of Lydia. Okay, all right. Some people say the first European convert, but as Randy mentioned a few weeks ago, it just doesn't mean that she was the first European convert, because we see that there were a number of people from Europe in Jerusalem at the time of Pentecost. So there could have been others, but this is the first one that we know about. So, yes. Thyatira is also found where? What? It's in Asia Minor. Where in the Bible is it found also? In the book of Revelation, one of the seven churches of Asia Minor. All right. A certain maid.
I didn't find that in King James.
Oh?
It says a certain, it's a damsel.
Okay. All right.
So that damsel was the woman who was possessed.
Okay.
She's the one that Paul cast out the demon of possessions.
All right. So that's the one that the demon or the spirit of divination or the spirit of fortune telling was cast out from. All right. And then the jailer. What about the jailer? Randy. Okay. Certainly, somebody beat them. I don't think the jailer. I think that he was turned over to the jailer. Yeah. It says the magistrates in verse 22 rent their garments off of them and commanded them to beat them with rods. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So, but yes, he received them with the stripes laid upon them. Pardon?
He put them in stocks.
Yeah, he put them in stocks, threw them in the inner prison. There was probably an upper prison where they kept people that weren't so horrible. And then these are the ones they wanted to treat badly, and they put them in the stocks. And, just not a pleasant experience. And so he's converted, of course, by the preaching of the gospel. He becomes a Christian along with some in his household also. All right, the magistrates, who are they? What's their role in this thing? We've already talked about that a bit. Where do we find the magistrates physically in the city of Philippi in this text? In the marketplace. So it says that the two people that were in charge or owned this slave girl, that they essentially dragged them into the marketplace and stirred up the crowd. And the magistrates apparently were there. And they passed instantaneous judgment upon them and caused Paul and Silas to be beaten and thrown in prison. So these people are the ones that were supposed to be upholding Roman law. They weren't doing a very good job of it, I think. Mickey, did you have a comment?
Just that there was some kind of Roman official.
Yeah.
That had the authority to do this.
Right. Right. And I think that we will find that if we were to make a study of the Roman law at that time, the people that weren't Roman citizens didn't have nearly the rights that citizens of Rome had. All right. So those are the magistrates. They're the ones that caused Paul and Silas to be beaten, and they're the ones that essentially, it doesn't say that they apologized, but they had to come themselves to bring Paul and Silas out of prison. Juan?
Well, I may have mentioned before, but I find it kind of funny that they bring up the road to citizenship after they're going to be released and not like before, like now. Magistrates are tearing their robes off and not like, hey, we're Roman citizens.
Yeah, stop that. That's right.
That when they're going to be released, because that's the part that they get to prepare.
And we discussed that, I think, a little last week and just very peripherally this morning. And the fact of the matter is that what the magistrates essentially had told the sergeants when they told them to let those people go is that essentially they were going to kick them out of the city. and at that time, Paul and Silas felt this was a time to make sure that people don't think disparagingly of the gospel because we've been accused of this and we've been thrown in jail and now we're being summarily hustled out of town. They want to make sure that the gospel remains in its purity, that it's not being spoken badly against. All right. Carolyn.
They, with what Juan said, it may have been kind of a mob scene, and you know,
right.
They had the opportunity. But the it's interesting that the men told the magistrates that these guys are in trouble because they're saying something that we as Romans can't follow, and yet they immediately don't follow the rule to of how to treat a citizen.
Yeah.
And whether they knew or not, we don't know. But yeah. They weren't asked, it would have appeared.
No, they certainly weren't. And you'll remember that in the 22nd chapter, James, where they're up on the stairway above the... On the 22nd chapter, there's also a mob scene where Paul is being taken and beaten by the mob that's there. The Roman soldiers take him and drag him up the stairs, and they're getting ready to beat him. And what does he say? You can't do this to a Roman citizen. And so, in both instances, they're sort of mob scenes. They're sort of instantaneous things. Things that happen on the spur of the moment and that happened rapidly and got out of control rapidly. You remember when Paul was previously in Lystra, was it? That they took him out and stoned him? No. He didn't have time to say, I'm a Roman. They didn't really care, but there was an illegal mob anyway. But the fact of the matter is that Paul was treated poorly rather rapidly several times. And I think that the only reason that he used his Roman citizenship at any time was for the furtherance of the gospel. Okay, Mickey?
It's his credibility. The accusations that the men charged Paul with, they're Jews, and they exceedingly trouble our city, set forth customs which is not lawful for us to receive and observe being Romans. But Carolyn points to see the magistrates, and these men were not observing Roman law properly. But the same Roman law which they refer to as not lawful for us to receive, Paul and Silas were keeping.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So they complained about the fact that we weren't permitted under Roman law to hear these things or do these things that these apostles are talking about. But the fact of the matter is, as you say, they were not keeping Roman law themselves. The supposedly the law abiders, the law enforcers, were not doing so. Randy?
I was just thinking the magistrates wanted to release the men to get them out of town, like you said, to solve the problem, but then the owners of the slave girl obviously had some political clout power. They were able to stir up the crowd.
Yeah, must have.
Get a mob formed and accuse these men. But had they just let them go, they could later say, you know, they're criminals, and they escaped when there was an earthquake, and all the bounds were loosed.
And they ran away.
They got away.
Yep.
Nothing we can do about it.
Yep.
And then they would be clean in the eyes of the slave girl owners, and the magistrates get off scot-free that way. And this way, they had to make a public announcement.
Right. Yeah, they couldn't say, you see how those Christians are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This way they can say, you're innocent, we're letting you go.
Right, right. And interestingly enough, as we look at this, it says, they let them go and asked them if they wouldn't leave.
In peace.
Pardon?
In peace.
In peace, that's right. And so they didn't tie them hand and foot and cast them out of the city. They said, we'd like you to go if you'd be so kind as to do that. Yeah.
Begging.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. What verse is that? And then,
39.
Yeah. Right. American Standard says besought them, which is, yeah. Begging. All right. So does that answer some of your concerns, Juan?
Sorry.
What? Does that answer your question? To a certain extent, anyway. All right. Let's go on to places. Derbe and Lystra. Where do we have Derbe and Lystra mentioned? And what's their import here? Yes.
Okay, verses 1 through 3, these are the cities where Paul and Silas strengthened the church, and that's where they met Timothy.
Okay, all right. So those are the first cities that we see named per se that they were doing on this second preaching journey, though it does say that they went through the regions of Galatia and, was it Phrygia? And previous to that, they say that later on, in verse 6. But we see that these two cities that are mentioned, Derbe and Lystra, are the first two that we see named by name on this preaching journey. Where have we seen Derbe and Lystra before? On the what? On the first journey, right. Back in chapter 14, 13. 13, yeah. And Lystra probably wasn't Paul's favorite city. And why was that? I think I mentioned that a minute ago. It was 14? Yeah. Yeah, because they stoned him, right? Dragged him out of the city and stoned him to death. But then he rose up. Yes. Do what? It's a nice place, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. And then Phrygia. What is Phrygia?
A region.
A region, yeah. It's just a region, nothing particularly well defined. It's in Central Asia Minor. And where does it say that they went through that area? Verse 6, correct. I wrote down here that as far as this regional area goes, Antioch of Pisidia being a region, is also nominally in Phrygia, which is also a region. So they just sort of overlap. And if you read the history of this, you'll see that actually the borders of what they were calling Phrygia and Pisidia sort of moved around here and there. It's kind of like, it's kind of like talking about Quartz Hill. It's not an incorporated city, but people say, well, I live in Quartz Hill. And you go, nah, you live in Lancaster. I live in Quartz Hill. I live in Pompey, really. But, nobody really knows. All right. And then Galatia. It's a who? Yeah, it's a Roman province in this instance. And also in Central Asia Minor. And so it's more defined. And in fact, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia are all in Galatia, the province of Galatia. I guess we'd say technically in Galatia. Mysia. Mysia is a, you know, well-known thing. What's Mysia? Okay, so just another region. This is in the northwest part of Asia Minor, and it's through which the company traveled. In the American Standard Version, if I can find it here, it talks about over against Mysia, if I can find it.
Seven.
So just generally speaking, though it's not a hard and fast rule, in the American Standard Version, over against generally means to the east of. Doesn't always mean that, but anyway. So they were somewhere around Mysia, and they ended up traveling through that area to get to Troas. And Troas was nominally in Mysia. All right, and then the next one is Troas. A city. Where about geographically is it located?
On the coast.
On, you say on the coast? Yes, it's on the coast. On the coast of what? The Pacific Ocean?
Oh, the Aegean Sea.
The Aegean, yes, the Aegean Sea. So we have the Mediterranean Sea. If Mickey was up here, he'd draw a big oval up here. But we realize that up in the upper right corner of the Mediterranean Sea, it goes up a little bit, and we call that the Aegean. So, and it goes alongside the side of Greece and Turkey there. All right, Troas. Now, why were they in Troas specifically? Correct. That's the only place they could end up, right, Randy? Well, true. The land ended there too. Otherwise, they'd be swimming. Yeah. So, but as they were going through this area, as you know, when you visualize the peninsula of Turkey, and they're going through this area, they're forbidden to go down here. They're forbidden to go up here. And if they keep trucking along, they end up in Troas. They were led. That's right. So the Holy Spirit told them where they couldn't go, and because they couldn't go to those places, they ended up going to the place where he wanted them to go, and then he gave them at Troas, or what? Gave them Luke, yeah, but he gave them a vision, right, of the man of Macedonia. I realize many of my questions are horribly ambiguous. Yes. All right. Where were we? Troas, yeah. Is there anything? Yeah. So they received a request to go to Macedonia. Bithynia, what's Bithynia? It's another, is it a province?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yes, that's right. In northeastern Asia Minor, up toward the Black Sea and that other sea that we talked about that I don't remember. I could bring up Google Maps and show us, but we don't need to see that right now. Bithynia also is where, later on, hundreds of years later, the Council of Nicaea was, put together, which established a lot of the denominational doctrine that we see today in many of the denominations. Samothrace. What's Samothrace? Mickey.
One of the thought on Bithynia looks like some of these other places you have. They were forbidden to go there, too.
Yes, they were forbidden to go there. And I don't think we have Asia on here, but yeah, but they were forbidden to go to Asia, which for us was what we normally call Asia Minor. Because for us, Asia is much bigger. It goes all the way over to the China, you know, Pacific Ocean type thing. So.
Specifically, they back to Mysia, they were, that's where they were when they were forbidden to go to Mysia.
Yes, right. They were in Mysia at that time, yeah. So they were set on a straight path, as it were, to Troas. And so Samothrace is what then? Little island. Where?
In the Aegean Sea.
In the Aegean. Halfway between where and where?
Troas and Philippi.
All right.
Heliopolis.
Troas, Neapolis, right. Neapolis being, and Neapolis is the next thing. Neapolis is what then? The port city on Europe that they went to. So they took the boat, went to Samothrace, stayed at Samothrace overnight. It says, and the next day they went to Neapolis. Neapolis being the port city that is smaller than Philippi. All right. And you'll remember when we looked at the Google Earth of Samothrace, we could see the mountain just jutting up out of the ocean there, over 5,000 feet tall. Very impressive sight, I'm sure. All right. And then Philippi. What kind of a city is this as far as politically?
It's a Roman colony.
It's a Roman colony. All right. If it's a Roman colony, what does it mean that they have that other towns in that area don't have?
The
governor has, once again, is one of my ambiguous questions. More rights and privileges as a Roman city. They have more rights and privileges there. They can do their, they're more self-governing. They don't have to pay some of the taxes that other people have to pay, and so they don't have to worry about April 15th. So, Mickey, you had your hand up.
I was just going to say that they liked to have the courthouse square.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, they did. Most likely did. Yeah.
It was prior to the Roman Empire, the Greek city named after Alexander the Great's dad.
Right. Philip of Macedon. Yeah. And Philippi has quite a history when you trace it back. And even before it was named after Philip of Macedon, it had some history. And I believe, as I recall from our discussion of it way back many, many moons ago, that it was sort of the gold rush country of that area way back in the, like, 800 B.C. and things like that. James?
Well, at that time, as a Roman colony, I'm sure there would be some type of military presence there to protect their people. So
yes.
Something you might see there that you would not necessarily see in other areas.
True. And Philippi, once again, being a Roman colony, is another area where Rome liked to resettle their retirees, as it were. And so they would give them grants, land grants, to go live in these areas and because most of the soldiers in the Roman army, being conscripts, were conscripted from being farmers anyway, and so they just soon have a great place to go live. You know, as we looked at the area around Philippi, we could see that it's a well watered plain that there's right now. There's a lot of agriculture in that area right now, so a lot of people there with a military presence or a military background, because of the kind of city that it was. All right, any further discussions on these many places? All right, so we get into the questions. So it's only like 30 questions, so this should only take us, you know, a few minutes or days. All right, now, as we go through this, and we've already discussed this several times, to what person are we introduced at the beginning of chapter 16? Timothy, or King James, Bruce, Timotheus. Yes. And what are we told about this man?
He's a disciple.
That's right. He was a disciple.
Okay.
Well spoken of by the people at Lystra and... Why not Lystra and Derbe? Yeah. As I had hypothesized way back at the beginning of this, is that Derbe is much further from Lystra than Iconium is. Iconium is only about 10 miles north. Lystra, I believe, as I recall, about 60 miles to the east. So that's why people are more familiar with those, that Lystra and Iconium are connected together more than Lystra and Derbe. All right. So, but we are told that he is a disciple. And what nationality was his father and his mother? Jewish, yeah. Jewish is a religion as opposed to a nationality, but that's what we're looking at, is that people understood that his mother was Jewish, and his father being a Greek is the reason why they had to get the circumcision done. And what city did Paul find this man? We suppose?
Lystra.
It appears that's the case. It mentions that they went through Derbe and Lystra, and that he was well known in Lystra and Iconium. So since Lystra is mentioned twice, we come to the conclusion that Lystra must be the place where he's from. And we already discussed this. What else had happened to Paul in this city? On the first journey, he was stoned. Yeah. All right. What? Chapter 14, as opposed to chapter 13. All right. What did Paul desire this man to do? That's correct. He wanted this man to join them on their journey. And because of that, and because of the Jews in the area, yes, Bruce, he had him circumcised, right?
Oh, sorry about that. I was ahead.
Yeah, because that question is not on here at all. So, all right, what was done as they went through the cities, and what were the results of the efforts? I think that's an important thing that we're looking at here. What was done as they went through these cities, James?
They were stringent in faith, and the numbers increased daily as a result.
Right, okay. And verse 5, yeah. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. So as they went through, now notice that we're just talking about the regions of Phrygia and Galatia. So we're not talking about specific cities now. So they're continuing their preaching. Lynn?
And in verse 4, do we intimate from that they were delivering those letters from Jerusalem? So,
yes, and I. Right. What conclusion can we draw from the fact that they were delivering these letters? Why would they do that to these cities that we haven't heard about before? I mean, none of the cities that they're talking about here are named. Why would they be doing this?
It's predominantly Gentile cities, so they would need to know that they were not bound by the law.
Okay. What does it imply about the teaching, that the false teaching that was going on? It appears to be widespread. Yes. So they wouldn't necessarily deliver these teachings if the people had absolutely no idea what they were talking about. And so I would think certainly there would be a certain amount of preparatory preaching and things like this that people would understand that it's the gospel that they need to be beholden to. But I think we can also imply from this that this false teaching, the Judaizing teaching, was widespread in that particular area. The people were going through teaching that to whomever they could come up with, I think. Mickey?
Either already got there or likely was prevented so that when it came, they would know.
They would know. That's right. Yeah. So, yeah. Bruce?
Also, if you look at, you see in Acts 13 that these Jews were false Jews.
Okay. All right. Yes. So they were either being proactive in doing this so that people would know what was going on, or they were trying to correct something that may have been already heard by these people. And as we see, as we go through here, we see that the discussion is rather generic. So it's through cities and places and areas of Phrygia and Galatia. So we're not talking about necessarily about Derbe and Lystra and Iconium and Antioch of Pisidia. We're talking about other places now that they may be establishing churches. Mickey?
Just one other brief thought. In that letter was not only addressed the subject of circumcision, but the relationship that these Gentiles were to have toward things pertaining to idols is also addressed.
Right.
And so that would be relevant for these men to instruct.
Sure. Yeah, I think there were like four items that they talked about specifically that they needed to refrain from. And so it was important for them in a proactive manner to know this, also in a preventive manner to prevent anything that they might have heard about already. So, a lot of traveling going around throughout this area. because it's on a major trade routes of that particular area that they were going through. And so they would have, all of the towns would have had people, you know, coming through them back and forth all the time. All right. Number five, where did Paul and his companions then go, and where were they forbidden to go? So we haven't gotten to Troas yet. Where were they going through?
Phrygia
and Galatia. And Mysia. So three areas here in central Turkey, in central Asia Minor, that they were going through. And as they were going through these areas, they were then forbidden to go to Asia and Bithynia. Where were they when Paul saw a vision? And what was the vision, Lynn? Come help us. Yeah, sure. All right. So they were in Troas when they did that. And after the vision, what did they do and what did they conclude? Okay. So in the order that we have it in verse 10, it says we sought to go to Macedonia and we concluded that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. In verse 10, this is the first time we see what with the pronouns. Now we go to the plural, or we go to the we. What's we?
First person
plural. Okay. Yeah. I knew there was more to it than just plural. So, all right. So they conclude that. And so, yeah. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. Okay. And what destination of theirs is described, and how is it described? All right. Okay. The foremost, is that what that says? What version is that? New King James. Okay. And leading? Who's got the ESV? What is that?
Leading.
Okay. So leading, chief, first, American Standard has first of the district, and then it says a Roman colony.
And they took a straight course.
Yes, a straight course. That's correct. They didn't wander about. So they were in Neapolis. I'm sorry. They went straight to Samothrace, and then they went straight to Neapolis. They weren't wandering all about the Aegean Sea here, I think is what we wanted to conclude here. How is it described? Okay. So what do they do on the Sabbath day then? Jenny?
They went to the riverside, which was a place of prayer. And I noted that they did not go to the synagogue, so perhaps there wasn't one there.
Yes, that's right. And most of the cities that we've seen them go to, we've seen that they go to a synagogue. And so we can conclude that there are synagogues in the cities to which they went to synagogues. And we can conclude that there were not synagogues in the city when it's not mentioned. So in a couple of the cities on the first journey, we see that they didn't go to synagogues. And here we see that there's no synagogue mentioned here also. So we can probably conclude that there weren't a lot of Jewish people in that particular city. Interesting then that Lydia, who is called a believer in God, right, is going down to the riverside on the Sabbath day. For a place of prayer. So that would lead me to think that perhaps she is Jewish, but that doesn't necessarily mean that. It could be that since they were going down to the riverside on the Sabbath day because they thought there might be a place of prayer down there, they just figured they might see somebody down there. I don't know. But once again, all speculation, they were going on the Sabbath day, and that's what they did. Now, notice that it says that they went in verse 13, the American Standard says, it says, "And on the Sabbath day we went forth without the gate by a riverside." Given that it's a well-watered plain with a lot of agriculture, I think there's probably more than one river in the area. So they went down by a riverside as opposed to the riverside. And I think that it probably just means that there was a well-watered area, Lynn?
New King James does say leave it aside.
Doesn't say, okay, all right, all right. Oh, well, prepositions are, I don't know, what are we going to do with them? All right. Mostly, they're not in the Greek to a large extent anyway. So it comes from context that we know whether it's A or the. All right. We will proceed with question 11 and no doubt finish up next week. But it'll probably take all class period.